So you think you can open a restaurant, huh? Well, you've come to the right place. Welcome to The Business of Eating. I'm restaurant and food columnist Bob Yesbeck, and I want to give you a behind-the-scenes peek at what it takes to open and operate a successful restaurant. In fact, a lot of what we're going to talk about today applies to opening and maintaining pretty much any successful business. But this show in particular is focusing on a particular restaurant operation that never ceases to fascinate me, to tell you the truth. And it's one of my favorites. When I had my restaurant, I used to escape to one of these when I just couldn't stand getting splattered with barbecue sauce anymore. I would go around the corner to the Ruth's Chris in Bethesda. I am so pleased to have in the studio today the general manager of the Ruth's Chris in Ocean City, actually West Ocean City. Actually, they say Berlin, West Ocean City. It depends on who you're talking to. Basil Hanlon. Welcome, Basil, to the show.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
I'll give people a little bit of a background. I've been writing for the Cape Gazette, and you were my very, very first column because I'd already been fascinated by, it's no secret that Ruth's Chris is a franchise.
Yes.
And I had been fascinated by how they maintain that quality, you know, within a certain range. I mean, restaurants are run by human beings.
Yeah.
But how they maintain that quality so consistently, and you took me by the hand in the restaurant and said, here's how we do it. And I'll never forget, I was there like 4 hours, remember?
Yes, absolutely.
And you showed me everything from the broilers to the instruction books on, you know, how to run your Ruth's Chris.
Yep.
Give me a little bit of history on your experience in the restaurant business.
I've been doing this for about 30 years in different positions. I primarily worked in Washington for 25 years for a couple restaurants and a couple hotels, and then had an opportunity to come on down here in 2005 and came on board with the Rourke family and Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Primarily, I've worked in steakhouses and bars and things like that.
So you're pretty familiar with the concept?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Did some research on it, and obviously it's about 150 restaurants nationally and worldwide. 50 to 70 of them are franchises, and the rest are corporately held.
So there are some O&Os?
Oh, absolutely.
I did not know that.
Absolutely.
Okay. So a little bit fewer than half, a little bit less than half,
yes,
are actually franchises.
Yes. Yeah.
Does the company, it's Rourke, right?
Rourke is
right.
The principal of our, he bought the franchise.
Do they have other stores or is it just this
No,
one?
This is the only Ruth's Chris they have, yeah.
And what a Ruth's Chris it is. It is, I just love going in there. It's in the space of the old Glenn Riddle Stables, right?
That's correct. Home of Man of War.
Man of War.
1917 to 1919, horse of the century in the 20th century.
Yeah.
His son was War Admiral who won the Triple Crown in 37.
Mm-hmm.
Great race in 38. It was broken down horse, broken down jockey, broken down trainer. He was the grandson of Man of War.
Wow.
And it was at Pimlico. 40,000 people at Pimlico.
In Baltimore.
Half the population listened to it. FDR canceled a cabinet meeting.
Really? Because of the race.
And that horse beat War Admiral, beat the Triple Crown winner, and that was Seabiscuit.
Amazing.
So there's a little bit of history in that.
So there's a lot of, well, I know, and you all actually repurposed, because isn't the restaurant in the old stable area?
Exactly.
It's a long, narrow building.
The whole barn where the bottom level was where the horses were stabled in their stalls, and then upstairs with the hayloft and things like that.
And your waitress the other day, she really knew her stuff. She was great. I was in the restaurant, and she actually knew. I thought it was maybe the tables or something had been repurposed from some of the stable wood.
Exactly right. The ones in the lounge and the members lounge. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's an amazing place.
And that's great that a server can get into that with the guests.
Yes.
I mean, that they're taking that forethought. Yeah.
Is that part of their training?
It is. We try to coach and counsel, try to give you the right information, along with many other facets of being a successful server, and the back of the house and the front of the house. But we're a small community, and we all work together. We have a purpose. We want to validate the brand. And you can only do that through training and many, many other factors.
Right. And, of course, training is such a factor. I mean, I talk about it all the time, and people will contact me while I'm thinking about opening a restaurant in Rehoboth Beach, for example. Well, for goodness sakes, there's almost 200 restaurants in, like, this three-mile strip of highway. And I'll say to them, I'll tell you what. Service is what it's all about. That's what people think about. And that was, I mean, the other night when I ate at Ruth's Chris, and that's what gave me the idea to do this show. I was so excited about it.
I appreciate that. Gracious comments.
I was taken aback by how the quality has continued. And I've been eating there since you opened. And
about
I love
13
it.
Years ago.
Yeah, yeah 13 yeah. years ago. Been,
yeah.
So 13 years it has been in that space.
Right, right.
Give us a little bit of history of the Ruth's Chris Company in general. I know it started in New Orleans.
New Orleans, I saw a woman. Her name was Ruth Fertel. She put a steakhouse called Chris's Steakhouse in 1965. She wasn't making enough money. She was a college professor, so she wanted to try something she had never done before. So the owner, Chris, said, well, that's fine. We'll buy, you know, she goes to the bank and he wants $18,000. And the bank, her banker says, well, you better get $22,000 to buy the groceries.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So he's supposed to stay with her for like a month or so. After 1 week, he was gone. She had never made a drink. She had never cut a steak. She had never done any accounting. And that was just the beginning of it. And she just got, she was so guest oriented.
Yeah.
And it validates what you were talking about, training. She had people that worked for her for 30 years. And she sold the firm in 2000 or 2002, maybe, or she died in 2000. But she sold the whole company and went public. Yeah,
well, yeah, exactly. And it was bought by an investment company,
right,
I think.
Exactly, yeah.
And is
equity
that,
firm.
And does that same company still have the parent?
No, we're traded now. We're publicly traded.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
all
yeah,
right.
Publicly traded. Yeah.
There's money in them, their stakes, apparently. Well, if you do it right, there is.
Yeah, there's a lot of work behind making the dollar, though. Yeah.
And let's talk about that work. I usually spend this first segment talking about you personally.
Yeah.
Well, I started out as a child. Well, you know, people know that already.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting. I get so many, I probably get 100 emails a day, and I'll talk about steakhouses and this and that. Well, Ruth's Chris is a franchise. How could you possibly go there? Well, I can possibly go there, but it doesn't happen automatically, does it?
No,
it's a huge amount of work to keep that level that was equal to almost like we have a steakhouse here in town, and the owner is a great guy. He is there all the time. 1776, you probably know Tom.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
He is there all the time walking around, and I say to people, that's the reason why this place is successful and good. We were there Wednesday night, and it was filled.
Yeah.
You have the same thing, but it's a franchise. So explain how the company and you make sure that that level is the same, even for that sort of operation.
Well, there's a lot of requirements to keeping up the core brand, to validate the brand, and to make sure that we're doing the right thing. There's so many facets involved in that. And I'm just going to go briefly up. From the vendors that you deal with, making sure that product is coming in, it's quality product, that it's put away properly, it's out of the ambient temperature.
Yeah.
We're talking about that. We're talking about the training. We're talking about the back of the house people. Yeah. As you spoke about earlier, we have all these recipe books that they're followed all the time. And it's word consistency. And wherever you go, you look for consistency, whether it's McDonald's, Outback Steakhouse, 1776.
Yeah.
Those are the drivers that create the comfort level for me as a manager.
Yeah.
And then that goes right along with the training with my staff.
Yeah.
When you come on board, it's a very extensive 2-3 week training program. You have to certify every night that you know every product, every dressing, everything along the menu, so you can exactly speak to the guest and be comfortable, and the guest is comfortable. And you're not overwhelming the guest with all the minutiae, but they know what they're talking about. And a testament to that is that we try to train to that every day. We coach and counsel. We have lineups and everything else like that. And my staff turnover is probably about 8% in 13 years, which is phenomenal.
Wow.
If you know the numbers in the industry, it's like 100 to 120%.
Oh, my goodness, especially up here in Rehoboth Beach.
And it goes back to the training that you're talking about. And it goes to embracing your staff.
Yeah.
And
they actually become invested in the brand and they care about it because they see it working.
And it's a year-round job. And myself as the manager and my management team, we're out there promoting them. We're with a great restaurant, great equipment, great product. And we go over everything, tasting, touching, feeling, and things like that. So it's I've been very blessed with my staff, to be honest. It's my dishwashers have been there 13 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and along those lines. But, I mean, there's a lot of things that we could spend 2 days talking about as far as the quality product. We're inspected 4 times a year by an outside firm to look at the quality of the product.
And when you say inspected, now explain to people what that involves. It involves actually having a table come in. They call it secret shopping? Or?
There's two of them.
There's
a secret shopper, which we'll go to later, but this is about the physical plant.
The physical plant. Someone actually walks in and you know who they are.
Yeah, but it's a surprise visit every quarter. You don't know when. And we walk through the entire restaurant. We taste. We take the temperatures. We look at the the tables. We look at everything in the refrigerator.
And this is over and above your regular health department inspections that you would have.
In addition to the Maryland Health Department, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because when I had my restaurant, you know, they were in there putting that thermometer down into the pulled pork.
Which, you know what? It's great because sometimes you're there and you forget the forest from the trees. So I think it's a great, and that's a driver for your staff to make sure we maintain the quality. Mm-hmm. And you referred to the Secret Shopper 4 times a year. Secret Shopper comes in there and, unbeknownst to us, it's a 17-page report from the moment they call to the moment they leave.
Yeah. And that, of course, keeps you ready to go. And it keeps everybody on their
staff
toes.
Staff and everybody else.
So when there isn't, and it's funny, the best restaurateurs that I know here in town welcome the visits.
We do.
Because sometimes you say, you're right, you don't see the forest for the trees. There's something sitting over there and nobody sees it because it's been there.
Well, you become complacent. You can't be that.
Basil Handlin, ladies and gentlemen, the guy who knows his stuff about steaks and especially the amazing Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. I do want to tell you that before we take our break, at The Business of Eating is brought to you every Saturday at noon on Delaware 105.9 through the kindness and generosity of the Haley Camera Restaurant Consultants. These are the people that have the 10, soon to be 11, Sodell Concepts restaurants in the area. It's also brought to you by EatingRehoboth.com, restaurant tours, eat, sip, walk, discover, all in 3 hours. And one of our newest sponsors, thank you so much, we love these people, Backyard Works, specialists in creating a beautiful outdoor living spaces, and you can check them out at backyardworks.net. We will be back momentarily. You're listening to The Business of Eating. I'm Bob Yesbeck. We've got Basil Handlin in the studio, and we're not letting him go. Don't leave us. This is Delaware 105.9. Make your smartphone even smarter with Rehoboth In My Pocket, the ultimate guide to everything Rehoboth, Dewey, and Lewis. Vacationers never leave home without it, and locals love it too. Available from iTunes and Google Play. Welcome back to The Business of Eating. I'm Bob Yesbeck. I write the Cape Gazette column every Friday of the same name, and I like restaurants. I like talking about them. I like finding out about them. And one thing has led to another, and I have the pleasure of having people like Basil Handlin in the studio to talk the nuts and bolts of restaurants. And this is a very special restaurant that we are talking about because it is most certainly considered fine dining. I don't think you hear the word franchise and fine dining a lot in the same breath. You all have pulled it off. I am proof of that. I'm not saying that because you're here and you could beat me up. I have.
I'm old for that, Bob.
Well, we could at least have a slap fight, you know. You know, it's like I have been there, and I was there just last week with some friends, and I was just in awe. And the server could not have been more knowledgeable. Yeah. I even asked her about, you know, what's the floor? Did you repurpose the floors? Well, let me tell you what we did. And I'm going, oh, my goodness, does she own the joint? But it all goes back to how it's just one element of what you do to make sure that every customer's experience is consistent. And it's funny, you mentioned in the last segment about the consistency. And I was going to say I had Mike Mioli, who I'm sure you know, super guy, owns 18 McDonald's. And I had him in this studio about 3-4 weeks ago, and he said the same thing. It doesn't matter if it's Quarter Pounders, doesn't matter if it's New York Strips. It's all about giving the customers who like what you do what they expect every time, right?
Without a doubt. And that McDonald's, I think that's used in business schools as a model as far as consistency. You can go around the world and that secret sauce tastes the same. Mm-hmm. The fries, all that taste. And it's just, you're more comfortable when you go to a restaurant knowing what to expect.
Yes.
I mean, if you have a fabulous dining experience one time, you certainly want to come back the next time with the same expectation. Well, that's not going to happen if the chef has got a different recipe. Mm-hmm. Or the chef's off and one of the line cooks says, oh, I'll just freelance this. Mm-hmm. Or the prep girls, they're not using the recipe books to make that fresh salad or to make the sauce, make the cocktail sauce, to cook the shrimp cocktails and things like that. If they're not doing it the same every day, we're not getting the product. Yeah. And that's why I'm so proud of our team, because we work together. We're very cohesive, and that validates that restaurant being a high-quality franchise. And we talked about a little bit about the Secret Shopper. That Secret Shopper comes in unbeknownst to us 4 times a year from the moment they call in with their reservation. It's how the phone is answered.
And your servers don't know.
No, that we had
that. And they're rating them on how they answer the phone, how they do. Isn't that amazing?
From the moment they walk in, or they drive into the parking lot, the entrance, the bathrooms, everything. So anyway, we as a team ensure that whoever it is, you know, whether you're a Secret Shop or you're Bob or you're Basil, when you come in there, that should be a great dining experience. From the time you have a cocktail at the bar to where the hostess is greeting you, to being seated at a clean table, silverware is polished, glasses are clean, napkins are crisp, floors are clean, windows are clean. All of that adds to that dining experience.
Yeah.
And as a franchise, you have to validate that because you have the privilege of having that brand, which is an iconic brand in the country right now.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you say iconic brand is just amazing.
Yeah.
And I love the story from the very beginning about Ruth. And she had family come in and actually and wanted to open a few other ones. And that kind of, I think, created the whole thing.
What happened?
And she was obsessive about them doing it the same way, right?
This guy, Moran, was the first franchisee. And he came down from Baton Rouge. He says, I can't keep coming down here to New Orleans. She says, well, make me a deal. They made a deal. Let's start the franchise concept. He opened up in the old airline motel. He wound up having six of them, and he sold them back to the company about 6-7 years ago.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You mean only 6 or 7 years ago? So they had been successful for all those years.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
See, it just goes to prove. And wherever I go when I travel, I don't do a huge amount of traveling, but when I do, sometimes I don't want to experiment. I don't want to have to take pictures. And that's when I'll go to a Roots Chris.
Right.
Because I know that chances are very good it's going to be excellent.
And there are great steakhouses out there. There are a ton of them.
Oh, there are.
There's Morton's out there. There's the Del Frisco concept.
Mm-hmm.
And they all strive for the same thing. And,
yeah.
And I think if you have the right management team in there and you have enough respect for the brand, you're going to make sure that you validate your position as a general manager.
Exactly.
And hiring the right team and that the team is doing what they should be doing on a regular basis.
Yeah. Del Frisco is one of my go-to spots in Philadelphia.
Yep, yep.
And it's cool because it's in an old bank.
Yeah.
And I think that's fascinating. And our friend in common, Bob Cipriani, of course, has... The world traveler, yes. Between here and the Bronx 16 times a week, picking up food for his restaurants.
He's got great product.
He's got great product.
He's got a great restaurant.
He has he'll be opening a Touch of Italy in Milford. It's taken a while because he's been through some craziness. And people who listen to this show know because he's been on talking about it.
Yeah.
But it's in a bank.
Yeah. Oh,
and
is it? Oh, here in... Oh, that's great.
Oh, he was so funny because he came running up. We were at Del Frisco's. God, it had to be 6 or 8 months ago. He says, the people that made the vault downstairs are the same people that made mine. I said, well, why don't you get your act together and open that restaurant? He says, I will. Of course, they're opening Bellicose store.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure in the vault, he'll make that the chef's table. I mean, that'll be a call for table.
People he's making the bar in the vault.
Oh, wow. That's a big vault.
And he's good. Well, you know, he had to knock the walls out.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be the Vault Plus.
Yeah.
But he's going to call it the Vault at Touch of Italy.
There
that'll
you go.
Be the bar. And it'll be very cute.
Great, great.
Yeah. But getting back to Roots Chris, what I want to talk about in the next segment is two things. The process that your secret shopper goes through to look through and make sure, I mean, even to the point where the shirts are creased properly
and
the servers are dressed properly. And I also want to talk about what, if I walked in and I'm a cook and I say, I want to work here, I want a job, the process I would have to go through to be able to do that at Roots Chris.
Absolutely.
I would love to talk about that because I think that that's a little bit different than a lot of restaurants would actually do, you know?
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, the business of eating, the nuts and bolts of what goes on in restaurants. And we're having a great time talking to Basil Hanlon from Roots Chris in Ocean City. I keep saying Ocean City. West Ocean City, Berlin.
West Ocean City,
what the
Berlin.
Heck?
It's
I don't know.
Thing.
It's the only same
one,
thing.
Only one in the region.
There's only one in the region. We'll be back momentarily. You're listening to Delaware 105.9. Welcome back to The Business of Eating. I'm Bob Yesbeck, Cape Gazette columnist. I write about restaurants, and now I'm having even more fun because I get to talk about restaurants. Today, we have in the studio Basil Hanlon. Wow, does he know his stuff. Basil is the force, the driving force. I'll say he's laughing at me and rolling his eyes, but that's okay. I'm used to that, Basil. Everybody does that with me. Behind the delightful Roots Chris down in West Ocean City, Berlin area at the Landrittle Farms. Yeah, used to be. So we're back. I want to mention one thing before we get back to Basil, that you do not want to leave home without Rehoboth in your pocket. In fact, it's called Rehoboth in My Pocket, and it's a popular travel app for your smartphone, and it's a lot more than just food. It features pretty much every activity you can think of: hiking, biking, surfing, pharmacies, churches, real estate companies, rental companies, places to eat outside, restaurants that allow dogs, restaurants where you can't take dogs. It's all in there in Rehoboth in My Pocket. And it includes, of course, portable access to restaurant news and reviews from RehobothFoodEat.com. So check it out. It's available at the App Store and at Google Play. And it's probably the best $3.99 you'll ever spend, because you can save that much money just by going to the specials list and finding out who's doing their specials this week. All right, enough of that. Back to Ruth's Chris. I am a cook. Maybe I'm a server. Maybe I'm a chef. Who knows what I am? I come in and I say, Mr. Hanlon, I'd love to get a job. You just don't throw me an apron and say, okay, go to work, do you?
No, obviously not. Obviously, we'll look at your application, resume, check your credentials and everything else. And then the process of training. And as you mentioned, whether you're a server, bartender, or back of the house, we have training manuals, and they're called SMAC cards. Self-managed audio cards. There's no audio, but they're like index cards. Let's say I'm coming in for a line cook's position.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm going to work the broiler. Well, it'll have every steak that we have on it, the size, and then how we prep it, how we cook it, the temperatures and things like that. What the secret sauce is, which is hot butter at the end.
Mm-hmm.
We have exceptional broilers that broil at 1,800 degrees to start it and then finish it up. And that's for the pantry. The pantry has to learn the salads. They got to learn the dressings. They have to learn the plate, how to plate it up for the guest, what the accoutrements are on the plate and everything else. For the sides, the same thing. Every position is very specific in what the product is, what it should look like, and obviously what it should taste. And it's the same thing with the bar. The bartenders have a manual of all the recipes. And with today's bartenders, they're mixologists. They're not really bartenders because the drinks are so extravagant today.
Yeah.
And the servers, they're in there for almost 2 weeks. They have to know every product. They've got to certify when they come training. We give them a module. You got to tell me every ingredient in a chopped salad.
So they are tested.
Oh, absolutely.
They are tested. So if I say, well, does the chopped salad have carrots in it?
Yeah,
the server better know.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I remember you told me that. Yeah. The training even extends to which way the bone is facing when
they set
the steak down in front of the customer.
That's correct.
Right. Why is that? I've always been fascinated by that. I know a steak looks great when
the
bone is toward the customer.
Well, because the meat should be facing you, the body of the product.
The body of the product, okay.
Yeah. And the bone should be on the outside, because you're not going to cut the bone first. You're going to cut the
steak
first.
Exactly. So even the way they set the plate down, they are tested on that.
Well, they're also... when we call it the sizzle, you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Follow the sizzle.
Sell the sizzle.
When the order goes back into the kitchen, it goes in by position 1, 2, 3, or 4. So the entire team can serve that table looking at the ticket. They're not going to go up to Bob and say, oh, Bob, you're getting the chicken salad, or Bob, you're getting a ribeye.
I hate food auctions. And actually, my column last week in Cape Gazette was about food auctions and how servers don't tag a seat, which every POS system on the planet lets you do. They're too lazy to do it.
And that's a good teaching tool for the runners, because the runners move up to waiters. So by the time they're ready to become a waiter, they already know that concept. They know that aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to clear the table, how to set the table, and things like that. And that all goes back to the kitchen, too. When that salad comes out, it's got to be positioned properly with the tomatoes here, or the everything is in conformity. Again, always going back to consistency.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody feels comfortable, because if you come in one time and Joe waits on you, and then you come back and Mary waits on you, it's all the same.
Yeah.
So Joe and Mary both feel good, because they're both working hard to make sure that plate's coming out properly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, of course, they make better tips. That was part of the point that I made in my column last week. I said it all comes down to the restaurant is there to make money. It's there to be profitable. And, of course, the servers and everybody else are not going to benefit from this. They're going to be out of a job if the restaurant isn't that way. And so these are the things you do. Not to help out the boss man, to help yourself.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, something as simple as saying to Bob, medium rare, and explaining what medium rare is.
Mm-hmm.
Is this what you want, Bob?
Yeah.
To make sure when it goes back to the kitchen, they're doing the proper thing and it's coming out. So one, the guest is satisfied, and two, if the guest isn't satisfied, and we got to bring out another steak, we're not making any money on that steak.
No.
And the guest is always right. I mean, there's just no way you can get around that 24/7 in every industry.
And you don't, you know, in your little mind, you know, they're, in some cases, they're not.
But
they're pains in the butt. But you know what?
It's the business we're in.
Yeah. It's the business you're in. I did a little test with Marina last week, and she passed it with flying colors. I said, Marina, I want the inside of the steak to be hot but slightly pink. And she says, here it will be medium. Do that medium. And I said, okay. And it came out, and it was perfectly temperature.
Good.
It was perfect. It had
I'm so happy to hear that for her. Yeah.
And, you know, she came over. She said, how's that steak? And I cut it down the middle, and we looked at one another. We both said, perfect. And she's a bit of a character.
Oh,
anyway.
She is. Yeah.
So it was very, very, it was very good. And I have a feeling every server there would have been the same way.
A lot of personalities there.
Yeah.
We have a lot of servers have been here a long time.
Really?
They get requests. I mean, it's just part of their delivery. It's part of their ambiance. It's part of the whole experience at Ruth's Chris. And I said, we want this one, we want that. Absolutely.
Yeah, so people call up and say, I want so-and-so as my server.
Without a doubt.
Oh, you're going to spoil me, Basil.
Without
you should have never done that. You should have never done that.
It's very consistent and very constant, that request.
So I want to channel a mystery shopper or secret shopper.
Sure.
I'm walking into the Ruth's Chris. They have no idea who I am. I called for a reservation. I gave the person grades who I spoke to or a rating. What am I looking at from soup to nuts? I know it has to do with uniforms. I know it has to do with the serving. Tell me.
It's a very extensive 17-page report from the
17
pages, single space. From the moment they call in, how the phone is answered, there's a protocol on how to answer the phone, how they're greeted at the front desk. And they might come in and they say, oh, we're going to go have a drink at the bar. Then they go to the bar and they evaluate the bar. Is it clean? Is there conversation? Is the drink made properly? Is the check presented properly? Is the cash, every concept, every aspect of that experience, then they may go to the bathroom. Are there enough soap dispensers, towels? Is it clean? Is it nice fragrance? And then they sit down, and we have requirements that when any of the guests come in, there are three things you have to mention to every guest. And that's part of the secret shopper report. If they weren't, you're taking points or taken away from it.
Okay.
It's, you know, and then they go and the assistant server comes over, water and bread, how long did it take? And were they greeted in, you know, within 2 minutes? And then there's courses are timed. They time everything between the salad and getting the table cleared. And then 20 minutes later, the entree comes out. And then obviously the quality of the product. And we're very, very fortunate. We got 104 last week, shopping report for the second quarter.
Uh-huh.
And so, I mean, we score high. The kitchen always, they do a great job with the product. And then they evaluate the whole dining experience from managers walking around, touching tables. Hey, Bob, I'm sorry to bother the interruption. Everything cooked properly for you tonight? Coffee good and things like that.
Yeah.
So they're
and your guy did come by. I remember
absolutely.
Now. He didn't interrupt us. I hate that too when people are talking intently and they walk up and interrupt you. It's part of my column last week. I said, stand there. They're there to order. They're there to eat. Give them 10 seconds.
You got to read the table.
Yes.
I'll go to some places and the entree will come out and right away the server go, everything okay? I haven't cut into it yet. I don't know yet. But along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
So, you have to read the table, excuse me, and make sure that the guest is comfortable for that interruption.
Yeah.
And some guests don't want to be interrupted, as you know.
Of course.
And you also read that.
Yeah.
And so the entire dining experience is evaluated from there. And then make sure that the hostess said goodnight and thank you on the way out. That the server mentioned your name 3 times during the dining experience. That you mentioned the wine list, you mentioned the specials, you were able to talk about the specials fluidly and things like that, and then answer the questions like you had, can you do this, can you do that, and everything else like that.
Yeah, well, I want to get a sense for that because that's important, and most of the steakhouses that I hang around at, they do a pretty good job of doing that. I'd like to think it's not because it's me, in there because I've been doing this now for 13 or 14 years and people know who I am.
Yeah.
She didn't know who
no,
I was.
Exactly
at
right.
I'm in Rehoboth. She's in Ocean City.
Yeah.
And I loved that I got the exact, it was all, because when I'm at 1776 or I'm at Harvest Tide or something, they're such nice people.
Yeah.
Some of them are even sponsors of the radio show, you know? And so I will get involved and I'll think, you know, is this really, really good because it's me? Or does the guy over here next to me get in the same thing?
Right. And that, again, that goes back to that one word I use frequently, consistency.
Absolutely.
Consistency of delivery of product from the kitchen and to the the guest.
Yeah. Let's continue that. So the food has been brought to the table. They've come over. They've checked to make sure it's good. I know one of the things I talked about in my column last week, which I keep bringing up because it's so funny. This is a coincidence we're talking, but how servers will sometimes start clearing the table before everybody's finished eating.
Can't do that.
I hate that.
No,
you
can't do that.
I hate that.
Everybody has to be done unless the guests request it.
Yeah.
But you don't clear any course till everybody's through at the table. Yeah.
And so many places do that. And then you're sitting there, and then
and
the people who are still
eating
bad.
Yeah.
You know, and it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And I can see it in a quickie place,
you know,
they know you want to get in, they know you want to get out. But most restaurants where you sit down and spend some real money, you know, the experience is more than just the food.
Right. We don't rush anybody. We expect every two top is going to spend 99 minutes there.
99 minutes. Yeah. And this number has been arrived at scientifically.
Well, I guess there's been some sort of educational view of this. Or
they probably timed it
and
from the time the check was entered.
The larger the table, obviously, the longer they're going to be in the house and things like that.
That's amazing
that
you all have it down that pat.
Well, I mean, you need to be on top of things for booking other parties, using those slots.
Make
sure you can maximize your reservations.
Yeah, and you have a big restaurant, too. And that's really a good thing from that point, because if somebody does want to spend 3 hours there talking, they're probably drinking.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful profit margin there.
Yeah.
And you want them to be happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, one of my favorite spots around the country. And I am so honored to have one of their GMs here. The guy who runs the one here locally in the beach area down in Ocean City, West Ocean City, Berlin. We'll just name it differently every time because it's all the same. We'll be back momentarily. This is The Business of Eating. I'm Bob Yesbeck, and goodness knows who has more fun than we do. We'll be back. Stay tuned. We are back. This is The Business of Eating. We're approaching the end of our hour, and we have so much more to talk about that I'm not even going to say anything else. I'm just going to hand everything over to Basil Hanlon, who is Chief Cook, Bottle Washer, Smiling Face in front of the Ruth's Chris in West Ocean City, Berlin area. You were talking to me about the seasonality, and I forgot about that. I'm so used to talking about that here in Rehoboth Beach.
Right.
But you've got the same thing down there.
Right, in a larger respect.
And you're also tied in with the golf course.
Golf courses. We own a couple golf courses.
Tell me
there.
How that works with what you do at the restaurant.
Well, the first quarter for, I think, everybody in the industry is a challenge. But for us, one of the highlights of the second and third quarter is the golf packaging. The Roark family owns five of the premium golf courses, and we have two on this property. So all the golf packages, when the rack rates go down in the hotels, they put out these programs where 30 golfers come down from New Jersey, they play the golf course, every foursome will get a discount if they play the three tracks. So that's a big driver to our bottom line. Obviously the top line, but it flows through to the bottom line. So we're very lucky to have that. And because of the seasonality and the demographic, things are a little bit different because there's a lot of retirees here. People don't go out to spend that kind of money every day. It's a special occasion place. So from wherever you can drive some business in, and the golf packaging is a big big percentage of getting these guests in there. I mean, we have two to three of the best bartenders in this region.
Yeah,
they just do a great job consistently, and they enjoy what they do. And they're showstoppers, all of them.
So. Well, you told me when we had our original meeting over 10 years ago that every morning they juice all the fruits
Everything's fresh.
No bottled lime juice.
No,
if you get a margarita,
lemon juice,
it has come out of
juice,
the inside of a lime.
Sour mix, everything. Yeah. It's just adding to consistency of the product and the quality.
You're open for lunch.
We are. We're open for lunch April through December, seven days a week. And then for the first quarter, we open on Saturdays and Sundays from 11:30 to 4. We're closed during the week. Again, because of the seasonality, it's not very profitable to open the bar, get staff in there, labor and things like that, and maybe have two or three guests. And then we opened Sunday through Thursday from 4 to 9 for dinner, Fridays and Saturdays from 4 to 10.
Do you have a different menu for lunch and dinner?
We do. We have a light affair menu, but if you want to get a steak, we're certainly able to accommodate that
also. You
can
also. Do it. That's nice.
But if you just want a turkey poor boy, or you want a, you know, this, or you want a salad, you want a hamburger.
I'll bet you guys make a hell of a burger.
Oh, it is. It's USDA Prime. It's, it's tasty. It's tasty.
I may have to get in the car and go down there and get a burger. Yeah. I'm a burger maniac.
Yeah, yeah, it's good.
How late is the Ruth's Chris open down there?
We open till 10 o'clock on Fridays and Saturdays and 9. But we don't chase you out of the restaurant, and the bar doesn't close.
I mean, so you seat people up until 10?
Absolutely.
And they don't get a nasty look?
No.
At least as far as you know.
No, we have a closing station, and those servers realize, and you know that that's a responsibility for the night, and it's just great. It works out very, very well.
Oh, so you have a separate, when people start coming in late, you have a specific area where you seat them so they can work?
When we lay out the floor plan every day, and we put two servers as closers.
Okay.
So, and we rotate our seating on a map, so everybody gets at least the same amount of covers. That's very realistic, because when you're planning the labor, you expect every server to take 20 covers.
Yeah.
So if you did 250 covers last year, you want to plan accordingly.
Yeah.
And then you look at the weather, you look at any banquets coming in and things like that. So there's a closing team that we will shuttle the late tables to, and they expect that they come in a little bit later.
Wow, you need a program just to follow that. Just to be, I mean, the front of house manager must be.
My team is very, very good. Yeah. We have a banquet manager, Kelly, she's doing a great job. John Miles, he's manager. And both of them have been promoted from within with at least 10 years experience with me.
And you were talking about how you get such high grades from the mystery shoppers and from the inspections. And I know that that directly ties into the fact that you have so little turnover.
Yeah.
The people that are in there have done it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're professionals.
Yeah.
I always joke when I say to people, I say, this is the big time and we are professionals. But in this case, it is, and they are.
And it's a privilege to work there, too, because it's a year-round job. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it isn't like you get sent
Exactly. You have to go get unemployment or this or that. Yeah. I'm very happy with the staff. They make my life very easy.
Yeah. Well, easier. The very fact that I was able to drag you kicking and screaming up to my little cornfield.
Yeah, it's a tough little cornfield. I feel bad for you.
Yeah, I know. Here with the little shiny towers outside. Basil Hanlon, thank you, sir.
Been my pleasure. Thank you for taking the time.
I'm so honored that you were able to carve some time out of your wonderful restaurant.
Stop.
I love it. Of course, I do want to tell you, he didn't even bring one steak. Not even one steak.
Man, that's bribery.
Something polite in a porterhouse, you know. Thank you so much, man. I think we learned a whole lot about the inner workings of that interesting operation. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been The Business of Eating. I'm Bob Yesbeck. I write a column of the same name, in fact, in the Cape Gazette every Friday. So check that out, too. We will be back next week at noon with The Business of Eating. And don't forget, in just a couple of hours at 3 o'clock, Sip and Bite with Rehoboth Foodie, where we get more down into the whole food aspect of things. So don't eat until you listen to that show. This is Delaware 105.9.